Well, it's wonderful to share the word of God with you this morning. And I am just so excited about what God has to say to us, because I've been really praying into this, because I feel like this is a word that's going to bring every heart courage and strength to do and to be all that God's called us to be. So I'd love you to join me and position yourself in some way to receive this morning. Maybe put your hands out or just put your hand on your heart and just start, ask God to really speak to you this morning. Lord, we've heard I'm willing from the heart of Jesus about miracles, but we pray this morning that we would be willing to receive your word and to act upon it. Father, Holy Spirit, this morning, fill the room with your anointing and your presence, that every heart would be touched in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Fantastic. I want to talk to you this morning on beauty in the storm. Have a look at behind me, if you will, because at the beginning of the year, Pastor David had a prophetic word given to him that was the word thrive. And if you look at the picture behind me, which obviously we've looked at all year, but we've made reference to, we've focused a lot on the tree that continues to flourish and thrive amidst the dry, barren environment that it sits in. But there is much more to this prophetic picture. We've had fires, sickness, we've had floods, civil unrest, just to name a few of the struggles that we've experienced this year on our planet. But what we haven't really focused in on in our great picture behind us is the storm clouds that are brewing in the horizon. And if you have a look, you can see them just up there on your right. And have a look at those this morning, because this speaks of a tension occurring at exactly the same time. That when we thrive in areas of our life, in other areas, right at exactly the same time, like a parallel, we can actually be experiencing a storm. And this is not new, because from day one, from the fall of man, Adam and Eve, life has been full of storms that have been brewing throughout our history. The thing is, here's the tricky thing about a storm. We don't know how long it's going to last or what the end result will be. So the question I'm asking us in this room this morning is, how can we position ourselves to see beauty in our storm? Not before it, not after it, but smack bang in the middle of it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And the storms in our lives are not optional. They come, and they need to be weathered for a long time. Do you know, for some people, there are storms that have lasted a lifetime. But regardless, we need to, as God's people, weather it with praise, with prayer, and the big P, which is perseverance. Say that to the person next to you, perseverance. I'm sure some of you could write a book on it. And you know, it's not about running and hiding from the storm, but it's trekking the unknown with God as our guide and strength. And the beauty in the middle of the storm is that we don't have to hold on to God. We don't have to chase after God, but he holds on to us. We are safe in his arms, in his loving care. And what happens, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I certainly have, is that there are things we learn in a storm that it's actually not possible to learn outside of it. And in the storm, what happens is we become so desperate that it's no longer about us. We've got no control and we can only turn to God. I can remember when I was going through a terrible storm and I went for a walk across the road in our park, and I remember just having this overwhelming sense of being so completely out of control. I had no control over my circumstance, over what was happening to me, and it caused me to run and to lean into God and on God. And have you noticed, I don't know if it's only just me, but in our humanity, we lean so heavily on trying to manage our world independently. Often, we don't invite God's help and supernatural resources, and yet he's there, ready, willing and available. No, I can do this. I can handle this. Yeah? Everyone's not looking at me right now. In Mark 4, 35 to 41, we see that Jesus was actually with the disciples in the boat. And even though his physical presence was there, they still experienced fear and doubt. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So can you see it, Real Life Church? Just like the disciples, Jesus is in our boat as we weather the storms of life. That is the beauty of the storm. That is the beauty in itself. We are not alone. We were never designed to do life alone. So we've established that storms occur in life. Everyone agree? Yeah. You with me? And that we're not alone during those times. God is definitely with us. But why do we still need these storms in the first place? Wouldn't our lives flow so much easier without them? Well, Danielle Strickland has written a book called A Beautiful Mess. And she states, and as I read this, replace the word chaos with storms. "We live in a culture that seems to hide chaos. To admit there is chaos in your life is a sign of weakness and failure. The truth is that we are afraid of things we can't control. Chaos is uncontrollable. You can't predict what it will do or what effect it will have. This chaos reorders things in our lives, shifting and changing our values and reminding us of what's most important. Living is about functioning effectively with the unknown, about finding the path to the next landing point without necessarily knowing the destination or the route to take in advance. It's about being comfortable in what feels chaotic and recognizing the huge creativity and beauty of that place." I know that there are those of you here this morning, and as I was reading this chaos that Danielle Strickland is describing, many of you can be right smack bang in a storm that is raging in your world, and you're at a complete loss about how to handle it. And this morning, because God is so intimately involved in your life, he's put it on my heart to come alongside you and to share and encourage this word for you this morning. He is in your storm. You know, we're bombarded with this value system that wants life to be perfect. And not only that, but for our life to look perfect. It's called appearance management. And in this perfection that sometimes we like to give off or portray, there's no place for storms or chaos. If there is no storms or chaos, there will be no beauty because there will be no need for God, and there will be one less avenue for God to show his love, his compassion, his power, his grace, his mercy, one less avenue for him to be glorified. I'd like to just make a suggestion this morning that we endeavour to not play the comparison game on social media. It's alive and well because it leads to envy and a wrong perception that other people's lives are so picture perfect. Have you noticed that? We can start to question why our lives don't look like that person on Facebook's life, or why doesn't it measure up to others? It can make us feel like we have this sense of failure about how our life is rolling out. Yeah? You see, Real Life Church, we need the storms to recognise the beauty of God in them so that we can fully rely on God. Will you say that with me this morning? Fully rely on God. Charles Spurgeon says it wonderfully and powerfully. I would to God that all Christians were prepared to throw down the gauntlet and to come out straight. For if God be not true, let us not pretend to trust him. And if the gospel be a lie, let us be honest enough to confess it. Are you in or are you out? That's basically what Spurgeon's saying. If we trust God, what he does is he helps us through. He will bring beauty in our storm. And from this storm experience, what he does is he uses our chaos to encourage and help others. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but we look at each other's lives, don't we? We notice how other people are living out their faith. And there's a poem from an unknown author that says, some storms bring us rain. Some storms bring us light. Some storms are damaging, but they leave us with insight. Take pictures during your storms to remember what each brought. Admire all of the beauty in them and the lessons that they taught. Chase after those storms of life instead of turning the other way. These storms aren't our enemy. They are here to promote change. And a great example of exactly what I've been trying to articulate this morning is from one of our very, very dear friends, Janine Bauer, who actually hasn't been able to join us here. She's watching online this morning. And if you have a look at the screen right now, she's going to share her journey with the storms of her life. And Richard has interviewed her earlier this week. So please look to the screens.
As we're venturing through Bethwyn's sermon on beauty in the storm, it's always great to stop to hear a testimony from someone who's had their fair share of storms in life and have actually survived it. Just like God saying to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you," this person who I'm going to chat with actually knows this all too well. That is Janine Bauer. Janine, thank you very much for coming and agreeing to chat with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Janine, your testimony is not so much about how God has physically healed you, but it's more about how God has been able to show his beauty in your storms of life. And one of the most major ones that you've had, dating back to 2017, was pretty full on. So what was the circumstances that occurred there?
Okay, well, December 2017, I was diagnosed with long-term illness called fibromyalgia, which is chronic pain disease and lots of other symptoms associated. And not long after that, Lyme disease as well. So I think March 2018, I ended up having to give up my job. My symptoms had become too severe for me to keep managing at work. I was just not sleeping because of it. My brain just wouldn't work a lot of the time, and I couldn't perform my role at work, so I ended up having to leave.
Was there any other sort of physical things that came along with that as well?
Oh, yeah, huge long list, but one of the most debilitating things that came along was I started having a lot of pain in my legs, lots of muscle spasms, making it near on impossible to walk because of the spasming and pain. I was tested for things like MS, which all came back non-existent, which was good news. But what we didn't realise was I had a cyst growing on the nerves in my spinal column, and a few severely deteriorated joints in my back. So that made things really hard. I'm to the point by, I think it was Christmas 2018, I had to use a wheelchair to get outside the house and do anything, and had to rely, I guess, heavily on other people to take me places and things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was manageable, definitely. Yeah. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Also...
Yeah. So it does sound like that you've been through your fair share of pretty fierce, full-on storms, health issues.
I have, and a few major surgeries and things like that, but I'm able to walk really, really well now, a few months after my last surgery, and it's great. I can walk freely with no pain, and that leads me to be able to deal with the fibromyalgia. So, yeah.
Well, then I've got to ask the question, how are you so upbeat and positive?
yeah, people often ask me that question. I can only say it's God, Jesus, and the joy of the Holy Spirit, to be honest. It's through God and his support and his guidance that has really, you know, helped me carry on and keep going. It's been a time where I've been able to trust God, lean on God, really grow. If I hadn't given up my job, which I really, really loved, I really love my job and helping others, but I wouldn't have had that opportunity to spend more time with God, grow closer to him, to listen to him more, be guided more and grow spiritually and personally. So that has been an amazing time.
Well, that seems quite positive.
Yes.
Well, if you were to sum up what you have learnt the most, so the beauty that God has produced in your storms, what would you say that would be?
I think... it's just been a whole growth period, you know. It's life can get so busy and these things can pull you away from God, but if you keep coming back to God and putting those cares before him, he will be your comforter. He will be the one that carries you through the storms.
Mm.
He's always got your back. Mm. So, and I've really felt his presence during this time. And just having him there has been phenomenal. I guess I liken it to, you know, how a storm will change the landscape.
Yeah.
And after a storm, new life often springs up. That's how it is in, I guess, the storms of life. Jesus is that new life springing up within you. And I always believe in hanging on to the promise of God's rainbow after the storm.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, Janine, it has been absolutely a great privilege to have you come and share some of your story with us today. And I tell you what, it does show how God does and will produce beauty in the storm. And your words have been extremely encouraging, and I want to thank you once again.
Thank you.
All right, back to you, Bethwyn.
Okay. So what I'd love to do is go a little bit deeper into God's word and have a look in the book of Acts, chapter 27. If you have your Bibles, please feel free to come with me. We find that Paul is a prisoner to the Romans and was being boarded with other prisoners onto a ship, setting sail along the coast of Asia and heading for Italy. The problem was that the journey they were taking was actually fraught with severe weather issues, storms. And in verses 1 to 3 we read, "When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. We boarded a ship from Adramyttium, forgive me for my pronunciation, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to see Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs." Hmm. Ever heard of that? A prisoner that was allowed to go and see his friends? Interesting. We'll come back to that. From verses 4 to 9, they further their journey, still with storm difficulties and heading to Cyprus, then to Cilicia and Pamphylia, and finally landing in Lycia. The prisoners were then moved onto another ship, and we made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lasea. Sailing had become very dangerous because of the storms. Finally, Paul spoke up in verse 10 and says this, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." But Paul's words were completely ignored and the ship set sail for Phoenix in Crete. It is from verses 13 to 25, we haven't got time to read it all, that things get interesting. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" So they're in the midst of this incredible situation, and God sends an angel to reassure Paul that he's with them. From verses 27 to 44, they became shipwrecked. The ship was so badly damaged that they ran the ship aground. And it was then that the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners. But look what happens in verses 42 and 43. "The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land." Now, normally, prisoners are killed because if the soldier doesn't look after the prisoner that they've been entrusted to, they have the same fate. So that's why the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners. It's very unusual for them to actually be able to escape. The whole situation was very real to Paul, but here it is. God was more real to Paul in his circumstances than what he could see with his visual eyes. God was at work at a supernatural level and was working on Paul's behalf. And Paul believed God when the circumstances were at their worst in that storm, because he didn't have a fair weather faith. He was not looking at what he could see with his natural eyes, but he was looking up. His focus and his attention was on what God was doing, what God was saying, yeah? What God was promising, what God had declared over his life. We can take from this story in Scripture that God is with you in your storm. God is there. He's not going anywhere. He's linked arms with you, he's in you, he's for you. Number two, that God gives us favour in our storm. Paul was able to go to his friends when anchored in Sidon, and the centurion stopped the soldiers from killing Paul and the other prisoners when they were shipwrecked. And number three, God is leading and guiding our path even when we don't see him working. Remember we sing that song? even when it feels like he's not working, he's working.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. And because of the storms, they had to sail on a path that they hadn't intended to go on. But God guides the ship in such a unique way that they would safely be shipwrecked, so they're still shipwrecked, but no lives are lost. So what can we glean from Acts chapter 27? We can gather and glean that God, our God, your God, will produce favourable circumstances in your storm. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
We, our part in all of this is we only need to let go and let God, and we have to trust him completely. Trust him totally. So easy to say, so hard to do. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. After their escape from Egypt, these words of comfort were given by Moses to the Israelites. And this can comfort you and I this morning as we have a natural reaction in moments of uncertainty through the storms. We can become so restless and we can kind of feel like we're bouncing between anxiety and despair. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Yeah? Anyone relate to that? And, you know, there's a physiological feelings that come when we're in a storm and we're in uncertain times. And what actually happens is the prefrontal cortex in our brains shuts down. It impairs our ability to actually be able to solve problems, to pay attention and stay flexible. And then what happens is when this physiological motion starts to happen in the cortex in our brains, then we can start to make irrational decisions and have behaviours that are not sensible. It can make us very prone to anxiety, to depression, to stress. And that's the honest truth of what can happen in a storm. You know, we can have all of this knowledge, yeah, at our fingertips, but we can still experience in a natural level those physiological responses to the storms in our life. And you know what? The Word of God says that God is acquainted with all of our ways. He knows us inside and out. Yeah? He knows all about what's going on. So, you know, we don't often get really down practical about strategies and solutions to navigate through our storms. But this morning, I want to get very practical. I don't know if it's my teaching background, but I love to give you some strategies to apply to this chaos that sometimes we can experience in life. And the first and most important thing is to actually bring our minds, yeah, into submission to the Word of God. It says, fixing our minds on what matters most, centering our hearts on God's truth. Whose report are we going to believe? Yeah? Whose report are you going to believe this morning? Are you going to believe the report of God, that's what he says about you? Or are you going to believe what everybody else says about you? Now, here's a word that sometimes Pentecostals don't say a lot. It's called stillness. I'm going to say it again, stillness. Stillness is the key. And it takes continual practice. But what happens when we just stop and are still is it sharpens our senses and it makes us so much more aware of God's presence. Have you found that? It makes us aware of his beauty in our present circumstances. So how do we practice this stillness I'm talking about amidst our storms in life? I want to give you three steps this morning if you're note takers or you're on your phones. The first one is acknowledge your limitations. Take time paying attention to how you're feeling and name your emotions. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling worried. God is not bothered when you tell him the truth, yeah? Give yourself permission to not feel okay. We've just had a whole week in this nation devoted to, are you okay? Yeah? And we want to be truthful with one another about where we're actually up to. And what happens is, as we do this, as we pay attention to how we're feeling, and so often in Christian life we get this unrealistic picture that we have to suppress our feelings. But God doesn't say that. He says we can live above our feelings, but we still have them. And what happens is that this can break the cycle of anxious thoughts. It helps our brain to start to think in new ways that are healthier in our storm. Yeah? If we're continually suppressing, I'm fine, I'm absolutely fine. Yeah? But inside, internally, we're actually not fine. Number two, lay down our expectations. What is currently causing us to feel anxious or afraid? Visualize putting these concerns into a box and then giving the box over to God and keep the lid closed. Yeah, when we hand it over to God. Ask Him to replace our worries with reminders of His promises. And keep doing this over and over and over again until you're ready to move on. And finally, pick up God's declarations over your life. Look back at words that God's given you, promises He's given you. Look back in your journals at scriptures and prophetic words that God's given you over many, many years. Meditate on God's promises. You know, meditation is not a New Age idea. It's simply to focus one's thoughts on or to ponder over. Imagine putting His promises on like clothing. And ask God to show you which ones He wants you to focus on any given day. Now, some days it may seem like God's got a lot to say to you, but other days He may seem really quiet. Have you noticed that? Both are normal and natural fluctuations in any healthy relationship. Don't be fazed by that. God, where are you? Who's ever felt like God's nowhere? He's not speaking to me. He's not telling me anything. Yeah? Whatever we face in our storms, we need to remember that nothing that we experience is uncertain to God. I say this often, I'm going to say it again to you this morning. God is never overwhelmed. He is never surprised. He's always got a good plan. And He is at work in our past. He is in our present. And He holds our future firmly in His hands. Isaiah 61:3, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. That in itself, real life church, is beauty in the storm.